You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 22nd of March 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're looking at the US dollar and considering the impact that its ongoing strength is having on the economy and markets in the United States, as well as a wider impact around the world. We start with a pretty basic question. How did the dollar become so strong? What were the key factors behind its performance? Paul Donovan, UBS Deputy Head of Global Economics, takes up the story.
The dollar's become strong in part because of relative growth. The United States is expected to perform quite strongly and certainly perform above trend growth, which isn't the case in Europe or Japan, for example. And then as a result of that, there's a relative policy shift that's being expected. The Bank of Japan is aggressively pursuing quantitative policy. The European Central Bank is aggressively pursuing quantitative policy, albeit somewhat ineffectively. Meanwhile, expectations in the United States are that the Federal Reserve will start raising rates by the middle of this year, and indeed, it may raise rates somewhat more aggressively than even markets currently suppose. So what we have here is a relative growth story and a relative interest rate and policy story that favors the United States.
Less a function of the dollar being strong than anything else being weaker, says Kiran Ganesh, cross asset strategist at UBS.
So we've seen new easing policies from the European Central Bank. We've seen Switzerland cutting deposit rates into negative territory. We've seen Japan expanding its QE program. So if you look at the other options, they're all conducting very loose monetary policies, and it's meaning that the dollar is the only one that isn't getting looser, is getting the brunt of the currency's strength on the other side.
Axel Threlfall of Thomson Reuters, meanwhile, explains that the dollar looks good by comparison as much as anything else.
Very, very simply, the dollar is the best-looking horse in the glue factory, if you like. Two or three reasons, I think. The US economy is growing well compared to other global economies. It was 4.6%, I believe, back in Q2, 3% Q3, 2.6% Q4. So, yes, it's been slowing a bit, but it still looks very, very good compared to most of the other global economies, in particular when you look at the Eurozone growth. So that's one reason. The second reason, of course, is the diverging monetary policies. The Fed is on the cusp of raising rates. Okay, it may not happen for a while, but the ECB and the Bank of Japan are very much in the opposite corner, especially the ECB, which, of course, has just launched this QE program. And assets in a currency which pays the highest short-term rate is where investors want to hold their assets in a currency which pays the highest short-term rate. So look to the US, look to the dollar because of the way the Fed is playing this and what the Fed is expected to do. And then thirdly, I would mention commodities. Commodities are priced in dollars. When the dollar rises, oil falls, so the US gets cheap oil. And let's also bear in mind the shale energy revolution, which is having a major impact on reducing the US trade deficit. So basically, the US is importing or having to import far less oil, so that, of course, is helping too.
Simon Smiles is UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth, and he points to the sheer number of central banks cutting rates whilst the Fed is tipped to raise them as a key factor.
We've had central banks representing over 40 countries cut rates this year. At the same time, the market is convinced the Fed will be raising rates this year. You've got an increasing spread gap between treasuries and most government bond yields in Europe. I think these factors together are, you know, clearly driving the strength in the US dollar and likely to continue to drive it further.
What about the impact on the US economy of the strong dollar? Could it be less severe than many might ordinarily have supposed? Paul Donovan, again.
So traditionally, the idea is that when your currency strengthens, your country becomes less competitive. You see the volume of exports decline and the volume of imports going up because exports become more expensive and imports become cheaper. Now, it is certainly the case that a stronger dollar helps to lower commodity prices. And we have seen, you know, weakness in oil and other commodities, which can be directly attributed to the strength of the dollar. But aside from the commodity sector, companies simply don't act like that anymore. US exporters are not throwing away years of effort building up market share in Europe and Japan just because euro-dollar and dollar-yen have shifted. So what we're actually seeing is that U.S. exporters are taking a squeeze on their profit margins, but they're carrying on selling. The volume of exports isn't being affected. And indeed, U.S. exporters to Europe and to Japan have actually been increasing their market share in those two economies, even as the dollar has strengthened. Meanwhile, on the other side, European and Japanese exporters to the United States have not been aggressively cutting prices in dollar terms. Instead, they're getting an enhanced profit margin. But that means, again, that the volume of exports from Europe and from Japan to the United States has not noticeably increased. And indeed, in spite of a precipitous decline in the yen, Japanese exporters have actually lost market share in the United States over the last few years.
The comparison with Europe is interesting, says Simon Smiles.
If we were talking about Europe, it would clearly have a more detrimental impact in the same way that at the moment Europe is actually benefiting from the much weaker euro. But the US is a very different beast. You know, the only country which has a lower gross export to GDP than the US globally is North Korea. You know, it's a large domestic economy, and that domestic demand is a key contributor to its overall GDP. So around 73% of GDP comes from America. It leaves it relatively well placed to withstand the appreciating dollar. The one area where this maybe has an impact with respect to the economy, though, is that at the margin it reduces pressure on the Fed to potentially raise interest rates.
Axel Threlfall, meanwhile, stresses that there remains a considerable debate about this.
It's a real debate, this. You know, let's look at both sides first up. A number of people say this is bad. Basically, export growth is decelerating in the US because of the strong dollar. Import growth is accelerating, and exports were a very big driver of the early stages of the US rebound. Domestic industry is really having to compete against imported goods. So that is the argument those who say it's a negative use. The positive is that the US is actually a very closed economy. It exists very much in its own world. Of course, exports and imports are an issue and very important, but essentially the US can make everything on its own. If you compare it to Japan, if there was a strong yen, Japan, very open economy, it reacts slightly differently, but it's very much the opposite of the US. And those who say, look, it's not going to have an impact, will use that US is a closed economy argument.
Kiran Ganesh also notes that the US is less trade dependent than virtually any other economy.
First, in terms of the economy, yes, a strong currency typically isn't good for your economy, but in the case of the US, it's not that dependent on trade. It's quite a big self-contained economy that's less dependent on trade than almost any other developed economy in the world. And then in terms of the equity market, you know, again, yes, it's not good if you're a big multinational company to have your costs in dollars and your revenues perhaps abroad. But in reality, the US only earns about 25% of its profits in currencies outside of the dollar. So it's not a major impact. If you're looking, if the dollar declines 10%, then you're looking at, say, a 2.5% impact in terms of earnings per share.
Jeffrey Yu, senior FX strategist at UBS Investment Bank, identifies the key issues.
I don't think it is severe, but it's not negligible either. And I think that was pretty clear from the Federal Reserve decision on Wednesday, you know, where the strength of the dollar was clearly a factor, perhaps, you know, behind the Fed somewhat paring back its trajectory for interest rate increases. And the reason is, the simplest transmission is, if the dollar strengthens, import prices come off, inflation is going to be below target for an extended period, and it makes it difficult for the central bank to tighten rates. But at the same time, you know, people would argue that as import prices come off and costs come down, and on top of, you know, energy prices coming down as well, then you're net income, so the amount of money that's ending up in the pockets of consumers, that is actually rising. So if they actually go out and spend that money, it could be a net positive for the US economy as well. In general, we find the US economy's sensitivity to a stronger dollar, so in terms of negative impact, is far lower compared to some other smaller, more open trade-oriented economies such as Switzerland and Sweden.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the dollar strength in terms of the effect on equity markets. What about the impact of the strong dollar on equity markets? It could be felt more profoundly, but there seems to be a consensus that it will, again, not be fatal. Simon Smiles.
In terms of equities, it is negative at the margin for earnings. Around 40% of earnings come of the S&P 500 comes from offshore. However, only 25% of that is earned in foreign currency. Therefore, a 10% strengthening of the dollar leads to about a 2.5% hit to earnings. You know, that's manageable, so the margin, it's not positive, but it's manageable in our view. Conversely, for treasuries, I actually think this is a positive thing. You've got a strong yield differential between US and Europe. You've got a lot of money, fixed income money, chasing yield. In a world where people increasingly expect the dollar to continue to appreciate, and in a world where the yield differential between treasuries and bunds, for example, is at multi-year highs, that potential will lead to further flows into treasuries and be supportive of yields.
And here's Paul Donovan's insight.
In terms of the equity market, of course, what we are talking about here is a shift in profitability of exporters, not a shift in market share or volume or positioning, but certainly a shift in profitability. Now, profit matters a lot to equity markets. It doesn't matter at all to economics. So you have a bit of a breakdown here between the impact on the GDP of the country and the impact on profit margins, earnings expectations, and so on. But having said that, the fact that there is a certain amount of flexibility on the part of exporters and importers, the fact that there is less of a foreign challenge to domestic producers in the United States as a result of the dollar's strength, probably means that the impact on the equity market is not quite as strong as had perhaps been anticipated. There is, however, one additional factor which is worth mentioning, which, of course, that this position does not lend to disinflation forces in the US economy beyond the disinflation force of a lower oil price. And that means that with an inflation rate that may be somewhat higher than anticipated, there may be more pressure on the Federal Reserve to act on interest rates somewhat earlier than markets currently suppose, and that may have impacts on financial market performance.
Kiran Ganesh stresses the dependence of the markets on earnings.
In terms of the markets, they're very much going to be dependent on earnings. And a 10% appreciation in the US dollar, we think, impacts earnings by between 2 and 3%. So, you know, as we say, it's not a good thing to have earnings forecast revised down by 2 to 3%. But equally, that's not going to be the big determining factor of where the market goes in a given year.
There's a good chance that emerging markets will be worst placed in a strong dollar environment. Kiran Ganesh explains why.
We think that in the emerging markets, the countries you need to look out for are what we call the BRICS, not the BRICS anymore, but the BRITs, and that's Brazil, Russia, Indonesia, Turkey, and South Africa. Those are the five economies that we think are most in trouble in this kind of environment we have of weak oil prices and a stronger US dollar. You know, these countries are either very commodity dependent or they have a lot of dollar debt. And if the dollar is stronger, whilst their own economies are getting weaker, this means that credit ratings start to get downgraded and economic growth is in trouble.
This is a fairly widely held view. Simon Smiles concurs.
Yeah, effectively a structural or more extended repeat of the May 2013 taper tantrum, where you have portfolio capital flows moving out of emerging markets, and where you've got a mismatch between hard currency debt, which has been raised by both sovereigns and corporates, and the local currency revenues that corporates are making. So we have some sympathy for that view. Within our UBS house view, we remain underweight emerging market hard currency corporate debt for exactly that reason. We believe that it is the most vulnerable to rising rates and continued strength in the US dollar.
Axel Threlfall, meanwhile, looks back a couple of years to explain what's confronting emerging markets.
The whole world placed a big losing bet against the US dollar pre-Lehman. The consensus was very much the US was in decline, the dollar was falling, therefore people borrowed in dollars. There was almost a guarantee that the cost of servicing your dollar debt would be low, but it has not worked out like that. Emerging markets borrowed in dollars. Lenders now expect to be repaid in dollars. And of course, as the dollar increases in value, that hits emerging markets extremely hard.
And what does Jeffrey Yu make of the opinion that emerging markets will be worse placed in this environment?
That is a view I share, especially due to the fact that emerging markets are still facing structural deficiencies, you know, imbalances in terms of excessive credit growth over the last few years or so. And, you know, that is struggling to readjust. And the main change that we've seen this time around is even though the U.S. economy is growing, in the past, emerging markets have counted on, yes, U.S. rates going up. But if that's a sign that the U.S. economy is strong, then maybe import demand from the U.S. will rise and that will be a buffer for emerging markets this time around. We are not seeing that rise in external demand from US consumers. So this means rates are going up, but your export income is not going up. So this is kind of a double whammy, and we see serious risks for emerging markets further down the line.
Here, with a closing thought on the client perspective on all of this, is Simon Smiles.
With respect to our clients, there's a very widespread view that dollar strength will continue. It's probably the most consensual position I hear when I speak to clients. And again, it is actually one that we share. So clients definitely think the dollar is going to continue to appreciate, and that's making them more amenable to looking at US investments, all else being equal. I think the general caution over emerging market assets in light of continued dollar strength, but also the potential interest rate hikes from the Fed middle to late this year, is something that's coming onto clients' radars. And I would imagine if this continues, it will lead them to take allocations out of emerging market assets and put them into developed market assets. The interest there seems to be on Eurozone equities and credit in light of QE. So dollar strength is a widely held view and one that clients seem to be allocating towards in terms of their cash holdings. The caution on emerging markets is starting to build. I wouldn't say it's all pervasive yet. And finally, the allocation out of emerging markets is most likely, based on recent flows, to be into European risk assets.
Simon Smiles there, bringing us to the end of this 24th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.